sir.
Okay, I'm here talking about nothing in particular. Which
That
means
would
it
be
must
our
be. Yeah, which
podcast.
must mean it is time for yet another episode of This Conversation Rocks.
We're so leaving that intro.
I think we should, guys.
Hey, everybody, this is Diane.
And hey, this is Todd.
And I really enjoyed listening to our podcast last week. I don't know if anyone else did.
Hey, well, you know, shout out to anybody still listening. Thank you.
That would be Hannah, and I want to say Ruthie.
Excellent. Hi, guys.
Yeah, thank you. And there were a couple of other people who just comment or liked that they were excited to see us put a couple of episodes up. So there you go.
Excellent. Well, today we're going to talk about the 25th Amendment to the Constitution.
Which actually was not just an exercise in wishing Donald Trump would go away. It was really fascinating.
Well, yes. And we're hoping to invoke it to Donald Trump to go away.
I don't know. I read a pretty interesting article saying don't plan on it, but we'll talk about that.
Yeah. Yeah, well, let's, first of all, let's see. Since we last talked, Scaramouche has come and gone.
Yes, he left before he was supposed to officially start.
And if anybody has not seen the Colbert farewell to the Mooch, definitely YouTube that. It's hilarious.
I finally watched it today, and it was hilarious.
Let's see what else. Trump, of course, has gone on vacation for a 17-day golf jaunt. Do I understand that correctly, or is somebody just making that up?
No, no one is making that up, and people are hoping that he won't come back from vacation.
Well, yeah, for a guy who accused the former president, the last president, of playing too much golf, well, fuck.
Yeah, I mean, there are figures, and I haven't counted out every day, but I've seen the memes that say, you vacation more in 6 months than Barack Obama did in 8 years.
It feels true. Feels
it
true.
Feel may, true.
May not be true, but it feels true. And yeah, I'm not going to spend my time trying to figure it out. All I know is that I am unfamiliar with the concept of a 17-day presidential golf trip,
including a working golf trip, quote unquote.
Yeah. Well. So it's been all quiet on the Twitter front, you know, for a couple of days. And so is that because he's on vacation, or is that because the new chief of staff is just standing over him and every time he reaches for his phone just punches him?
I think it must be the new chief of staff, because I actually saw something either this morning or yesterday morning saying, John Kelly, he's got a phone and he's looking for you.
Yeah. Let's see what else is going on in the news. I mean, it's just, I mean, so much shit happens every week, so I can't even imagine what happened in 2 weeks.
Well, Mueller impaneled a grand jury.
That's right. Yeah, it's a huge one, right? See
yeah.
how bad this is? It's so much shit. So, yeah, that's quite interesting and will lead towards this entire conversation about mechanisms under which Trump could be retired.
The way that I read it is that impeachment is more likely than a 25th Amendment remedy, but yeah.
Well, okay. Yeah, and I think maybe we'll just go ahead and get into what the 25th Amendment is to the U.S. Constitution.
Oh, God. So you know what? You actually made me read part of the Constitution,
dude,
which was
I
good.
Know. I know. Wow.
So I actually printed out the 25th Amendment and each of the four sections.
Yeah. Excellent. I'm just looking at Wikipedia. But yeah, so the first thing it did was this was an interesting historical problem that previously it was unclear if the president was actually not able to do the job. Did the vice president become the president? And it wasn't until the 25th Amendment in what, 1967? Yeah,
yeah,
1967.
So proposed in 65, ratified in 67.
That we actually clarified apparently that glaring omission.
Well, so I read an article on it, and it sounds like we're headed in the same place. I read an article by a guy named Joel Goldstein. It was published in Washington Post, and it is titled "Trump Opponents Have Rediscovered the 25th Amendment. Here's What You Should Know About It." And so the first clause was exactly that. The first section says, "In case of the removal of the president from office or his death or resignation, the vice president shall become president."
And hence how Ford became president.
Well, and I didn't honestly know that until this amendment was made that there wasn't really a solid plan. The guy who wrote this article, who is a law professor, said that the original framers didn't plan on create plan, bleh, let me try again. Didn't plan on the vice president necessarily becoming president. They called him acting president. And
Right.
the first Veep who really pushed that was the Veep for William Henry Harrison. When he died, his VP set the precedent and said, "Well, I'm the president now."
Right.
And it was actually eight different presidents that that happened with before the 25th Amendment became law.
Yeah.
Which is crazy. I mean, it's crazy to think that basically we had this constitution in place for nearly 200 years, and people were finally like, "Huh, maybe we should figure out how to get a president if there's no election and the office is vacant."
Yeah, so it's which is interesting, but it also has a lot to do with the fact that the vice president was originally an elected position.
And they said, and the article that I read, and we're headed in the same place here, is that the importance of the vice presidency had kind of evolved, especially in
Yeah.
the 20th century. So that was why all of a sudden it was felt that, hey, we need to really have a reason, or a mechanism rather, for replacing the president and for replacing the vice president, which is clause two of the 25th Amendment.
Right, which got enacted under Nixon, the because Spiro Agnew resigned the office after pleading nolo to corruption charges, or maybe resigned first and then pled. I don't remember, but anyway, that's why there was a vacancy for Congressman Gerald Ford to become the vice president, setting up Gerald Ford, the president.
Well, and so the thing that's really interesting about that that I didn't know is that pressure for the 25th Amendment really came around the time that Eisenhower entered into a letter of agreement with Nixon, who was then his VP, because Eisenhower had a stroke, he had a heart attack, and he had major surgery. So there were three times that he was incapacitated, and there was not
Sure.
really a mechanism for covering the presidency at that point. So Eisenhower did a private letter of agreement with Nixon that he would do a temporary transfer of power.
Ah,
Which,
okay.
I mean, I thought that was kind of cool. And then for it to kind of come around to replacing Nixon and replacing the vice president, it was kind of an interesting little piece of synchronicity. And so
Where?
the second clause, because we're talking about that, of the 25th Amendment says, "Whenever there is a vacancy in the office of the vice president, the president shall nominate a vice president who will take office upon confirmation by a majority vote of both houses of Congress." So the
Right.
president selects him, and then Congress has to vote on it. But here's the other thing. Before a 25th Amendment came into place, the framers apparently felt like we didn't even need a vice president. They could just kind of reassign some of the duties until there was another election.
Right. Again, well, because as originally configured and conceived, the federal government, the power was in Congress and not in the presidency.
Boy, isn't it bass-ackwards now?
Things have changed, clearly. Yeah,
Yeah.
the executive branch was not the strong branch in there.
That's interesting. I didn't know that either. I mean, it makes sense when you look at the way that just this amendment alone was structured to deal with things that weren't foreseen.
Right. So then we move on to section three. And this is great. I love this. Whenever the president transmit to the president pro tem of the Senate and the Speaker of the House of Representatives his written declaration that he is unable to discharge the powers and duties of his office, and until he transmits to them a written declaration to the contrary, such powers and duties shall be discharged by the vice president as acting president. So, man. There it is. That's the key one that you make West Wing episodes out of.
Right. You know, it was funny. One of the articles I ran across about invoking the 25th Amendment was basically like, most of this is never going to happen in anything other than a Hollywood thriller.
Right. Yeah, because it's. When is the president going to willingly cede power, right?
Well, you talked about it last week, which is long enough for Mike Pence to pardon me, and then I'm taking it back.
Right.
So it looks like it was actually used 3 times historically. That was another thing that Joel Goldstein article said. So Reagan, when he went under anesthesia, and I suspect it was when he was shot, transferred power temporarily to his Veep.
No, he didn't.
Yeah, actually, according to this article, he did.
Oh, well, but it was Al Haig who was in command, right?
So maybe it was a different situation when Reagan was voluntarily under anesthesia and did the temporary transfer of power.
Oh, okay, I got a Wikipedia article.
Got it,
here.
Okay, you go for it. And then the other 2 times were George W. Bush, and it was when he was under anesthesia for different procedures. And he actually temporarily transferred power to Cheney and then took it back when he was recovered from his anesthesia. And that still sounds better than the president today.
Right. Well, it's interesting because, you know, and Wikipedia, you can't say is always 100% accurate or anything like that. But what Wikipedia's got is that following the attempted assassination of Reagan in 81, then Vice President George H.W. Bush did not assume presidential powers and duties as acting president because Reagan was unable to invoke Section 3 because he was in surgery.
It must have been something else. It must have been a different elective procedure that Reagan was going in for.
Maybe so, although they don't have it here. But anyway, this gets interesting and explains something that I always wondered about that situation. Bush himself did not invoke Section 4, which is where, you know, the vice president and others can say that the president is incapable of doing his job because he was on a plane at that moment and Reagan was out of surgery by the time Bush arrived back in Washington.
Oh, isn't that interesting?
Right, which is where the whole Al Haig, I'm in command thing came from, is because at that point...
The only person that they could easily be in touch with was Alexander Haig.
Yes, although I don't believe that he was technically in the line of succession.
That's interesting, because so that was one of the things that I looked up, and we can talk about that a little bit later, but what exactly is the line of succession? And it is important in this conversation, because the people who are directly in the line of succession are the people who... with the vice president, tell the Congress the president is not able to perform his duties any longer and we're taking over.
Right, which leads us to...
Section 4.
Section 4. So this is... I love this. When the vice president and a majority of either the principal officers of the executive departments, that would be the cabinets.
Correct. The line of succession. Yeah.
Or such body as Congress may... by law provide, transmit to the president pro tem and the speaker of the house their written declaration that the president is unable to discharge the powers and duties of his office. The VP shall immediately assume the powers at that moment. And then when the president, this is great because they actually put in the clause and I'm kind of paraphrasing, but
yeah,
when the president protests this action, written protest that no inability exists, he shall resume the offices unless the vice president and the majority of either principal officers of the executive department or such other bodies Congress may provide, transmit within 4 days to the president, pro tem, the Senate, and the Speaker of the House their written declaration that the president is unable to discharge his powers. Okay.
And then so basically Congress, the president... I'm going to just jump in. So basically the president's got 4 days to say, oh, hell no, I can still do this job. And then the... cabinet and the vice president can respond back, and they have 21 days for Congress to basically mull it over and decide who's the winner.
Right.
So there can be essentially 25 days of question once the process has started, but at the end of that 25 days, Congress has to say this person or this person is now the president of the United States.
Right, but it takes a 2/3 vote in both houses.
Right.
The point is it should not be easy. I agree with the 2/3 thing. It should not be easy to just throw the president out.
As much as we would like it.
Right.
No, I agree. I mean, it sets the bar very high, and that's appropriate.
Let's see. What else can we say about this? Oh, one of the things I really like about the 25th Amendment, though, is it's short, sweet, and to the point, right?
Right. It filled up maybe one page.
Yeah, maybe, what, 250 words there? Yeah. I mean, it's...
The other thing that was kind of interesting about the history of this is that apparently Section 4 really came about when JFK was shot and there was some thought that he might survive it but be completely incapacitated.
Right, yeah, if he was in a coma, right. Now what do we do?
Right, so Section 4 was basically, okay, we have this shell that was once the president that still has a pulse, but what are we going to do?
Right, and that's why, and again, with that high bar, I mean, it's clear that this is the case that they're thinking about. Right, that, you know, obviously 2/3 of both houses, probably 100% of both houses, but obviously you would get to the 2/3 in such a case as the president is in a coma, right?
Right.
You know, but yeah, to the point I think you were making earlier that the 25th Amendment removal is unlikely, I completely agree with that statement vis-a-vis Mr. Trump, you know.
So... Section 4, before we get into the likelihood, it's never been invoked. That's the only section of the four sections of the 25th Amendment that's never been invoked. Let's see. The line of succession, I just wanted to talk about that really quick. So it basically is vice president, we know that. Then presidency goes to Speaker of the House, currently
yep.
Paul Ryan. Then after that, President Pro Tem, who is Orrin Hatch.
I was just wondering who was the actual president.
Yeah. So I was thinking Mitch McConnell. And when I read, no, Mitch McConnell is nowhere in the line of succession. And then from there
on. Did you feel better or worse? It's Orrin Hatch.
When I saw that Ben Carson, Betsy DeVos, and Rick Perry are all in the line of succession, it really didn't make me feel that much better.
Yeah, that's true.
My only hope is that it would not go so far down through the cabinet posts that one of them would actually have an opportunity.
Now, I've never learned the cabinet position, the positions for this. So
it actually is the whole cabinet, and it goes hierarchically through the cabinet. I didn't write the whole thing down, but it starts with Secretary of State. So if for some reason Pence, Ryan, and Hatch were not able to discharge the duties of the presidency, we're not going to debate that here, right?
Because we're now doing the lone survivor
right.
scenario.
So then the next person would be Secretary of State, Rex Tillerson. If Tillerson wasn't available to fill the post for some reason, Treasury, then Defense, then Attorney General. And it goes all the way down through Betsy DeVos, Ben Carson, and Rick Perry. So the other thing that I thought was interesting is the only person in the cabinet right now who actually could not be chosen is Elaine Chao, because she's not a natural-born citizen.
Oh, right, right.
She's our Secretary of Transportation, and she cannot serve as president.
Right. Okay.
So she better not be the lone survivor.
Right. Yeah, that'll be a problem.
Although I take Elaine Chao over Betsy DeVos any day.
I'd take anybody over Betsy, but... Right. The thing is, it's interesting. It does show then the weight that they actually apply to those positions, right?
Right.
You know.
I thought it was interesting that AG was so far down. I mean, he's essentially seventh in the line if you go through the Speaker of the House, the President Pro Tem, and the Vice President as well.
I'm surprised that Defense was actually below Treasury.
Yeah, Defense is sixth, Treasury is fifth.
Yep.
I mean, can you imagine President Steve Mnuchin?
Yeah, let's just hope we don't ever get the test out
to that
of this
place.
Work.
Well, at the rate at which Donald Trump is trying to get us into a nuclear war, it is possible.
Yeah, don't remind me. Yeah.
So, the likelihood. Okay, so this was really interesting. I found an article by Dahlia Lithwick. Do you ever listen to her?
Sorry, big yawn.
That's all right. So Dahlia Lithwick,
No, I have not heard of her or, you know.
she writes for Slate. She also does a podcast called Amicus, which is a podcast about the Supreme Court. I don't listen to every episode, but it's pretty interesting and she's very well spoken.
As in amicus brief.
Correct. And she actually is Canadian. She went to Yale and she graduated with her JD from Stanford University. So she actually is an attorney, or she holds a law degree anyway. But she's pretty much working in journalism now. Anyway, she wrote an article about basically, are we ever going to see the 25th Amendment used with Donald Trump? And in fact, the title is Donald Trump too incapacitated to be president? And she answers it in her subtitle, which is Not in This America.
Right. Which, you know, I mean, being unpopular, being, you know, honestly, being unpopular is not the same as being incapacitated.
Well, and she basically
Being
point
hated is not the same.
and she basically points out that the people who would have to make the decision to initiate this process and say that he's incapacitated are the people who are currently his chief enablers.
Right, yeah, exactly.
So, I mean,
I was just having that discussion with somebody the other day, right? That it's hard to believe that the cabinet would turn on him at this moment.
exactly.
You
I
know, because
mean,
they're his guys.
they were even talking this morning about this rumor that Mike Pence, they were talking on the news about this rumor that Mike Pence is thinking about a 2020 presidential bid. And of course, Mike Pence has come out this morning and said, no, that's not true. I'm going to be helping the president get reelected, blah, 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 blah. But they pointed out that even if Pence was seriously looking at running against Donald Trump in 2020, he'd be a fool to declare it right now because he would lose the base.
Yeah, no, he's not going to shit where he eats.
Exactly. And so it goes to the same argument with the 25th Amendment. Of course, these cowards who continue to enable and overlook what Trump has done and what Trump is continuing to do, they're not going to say that he's incapacitated unless something huge happens like a stroke. Is it
Right,
bad
but
that
again,
I'm helping the president's weight and blood pressure will catch up with him?
It's only bad if the Secret Service is listening
Okay, they
and decides
probably
that
are.
he's bad.
Shit. Would you do me
Yeah.
a favor and start baking that cake with a vial in it now?
Sure. You know, but what I would say is again, you know, this is I think the thing that was valuable was just kind of going back and seeing what the 25th Amendment really is.
Yeah, and you know, that
Right?
was
It's
really what
there's
I wanted to do, and I'm really
there
glad you suggested it.
there is no there is no way that it's going to get used against a president who's not in a coma, right? But then again, it's not intended. This is, you know, everybody's like, oh yeah, we can do. It's not intended for that, right? That's removing the president is laid out in the Constitution through the impeachment process. That's what that's for. You know, if you want to get rid of a president, that's the way you have to go at it.
So maybe we have to talk about impeachment process next time and exactly how that works.
Sure, I absolutely think that'd be a great idea, and I just think you know, I mean, not trying to rain on anybody's parade, but I just think, you know, we don't need to talk about the 25th Amendment much anymore. I mean, and just unless the guy, you know, I unless the guy just really starts to publicly show signs of Alzheimer's, dementia, something like that, you know, it ain't
Right.
gonna happen.
It's gonna have to be something really obvious. And one of the other points that Dahlia
Because
Lithwick.
Reagan had Alzheimer's.
Right.
You know, and basically, it never even came up,
Well,
right?
and Dahlia Lithwick also makes the point that it's not just looking at the Congress and it's not just looking at the people who have to start the process, the cabinet and the vice president, but also in terms of a disability that's not to the degree of a stroke or a major heart attack, you know, something that causes the president to be in a coma, exactly. The healthcare professionals that are going to have to take that on and weigh in on that. She's like, you know, people are not willing publicly to do that.
Right, because that's the whole thing, right? Congress has never appointed They have the power in the 25th Amendment to appoint such a committee, but they never have, right? So, and I'm not counting on them to do
Right. I
it.
mean, the same thing is when you look beyond the cabinet and when you look beyond Mike Pence and you look at, generally speaking, the people who are making up the Congress, they're a bunch of cowards too. There's no way that a two-thirds majority is going to vote to remove Donald Trump from office again unless he is so completely incapacitated that there is no chance he will come back from it.
Right. But again, arguing just straight up legitimacy of the 25th Amendment, that's the intention of it, right?
Right, right.
So.
I think so too. And I think that your point, which is even the finer point and the overall point, the meta point, if you will, is that we've got to stop talking about this and we've got to stop looking at this as something to cling to because it's not realistic. It's totally pie in the sky.
Right.
We're much, much more likely to see traction through impeachment processes, and that's going to take years.
Well, yeah, I mean, again, you have to just go back to the Nixon example and realize that, investigations spawn investigations. And as long as the Republicans control Congress, they're unlikely to try to impeach him, unless he just gets completely out of hand.
Which, I
Which.
mean, it's hard to see how much more out of hand it could get, but it's more that my moral sensibilities are outraged, you
Yeah.
know? Yes, I do have
Yeah.
moral sensibilities.
Yeah, I mean, it's just yeah, it's a tough situation.
It's distasteful. It's completely distasteful, but it's not, we are not at the benchmark of the 25th Amendment.
Right, no, and it's a little early to start, talking about the next election, but the truth of the matter is an awful lot of it depends on the midterms. Where on average the sitting president loses 35 seats in the House. The Republicans only have a majority of 23 right now. So, on average the Dems should get the House back. I'm not saying that's going to happen because, Dems.
Snatching victory from the jaws, or snatching defeat from the jaws of victory.
Oh my God, since 1994.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's possible.
Well, and really the only circular firing squad that comes close to the circular squ firing squad, God, I can't speak today, that is the White House. The only circular firing squad that comes close to that one is the ability of the Democratic Party to self-destruct.
Oh yeah, Jesus Christ.
I mean, people are already shitting all over Kamala Harris or Kamala Harris, and she's not even a candidate.
Yeah, Chuck Schumer maybe. I don't know.
I don't know, man.
Yeah,
Would it
and I
break my heart
don't.
again to see Bernie run again? No,
No,
but.
but I don't know that Bernie would get any further because Democrats.
Right.
I mean, and the truth is, the Democratic Party is not there to support Bernie Sanders. They're there to support Democratic candidates,
I
and
think
just.
the only benefit that we may see in terms of a Bernie vote is that there are people who are starting to really shift further to the left. I mean, Al Gore has come out in favor of Medicare for all. Chuck Schumer has come out in favor of Medicare for all. So I think we're seeing that kind of shift. But are we seeing a shift that would bring us a Bernie Sanders for president? I'm not sure.
Right, and it's too early. It's way too early. There's lots between here and there,
Right. And again, we may get into a nuclear war before then. It may be a moot point.
Yeah, North Korea.
I did write down a quote from the end of Dahlia Lithwick's article because I really liked it, and this kind of goes to what we were just talking about. So she says, "Disturbing and as shattering as it is that the president cannot read and understand classified security briefings, it does not make him mentally ill. It makes him exactly what many Americans voted for, an incurious, self-obsessed man with a middling mind who happened to reach great heights thanks to a perfect storm of privilege, cheating, and fame."
Yep.
And you know what's really interesting is I actually allowed myself to go and look at something that was written by someone from Fox News, because I thought, okay, I should see what the conservatives are saying about the whole 25th Amendment thing. And this guy named Steve Kurtz, who's a Fox News producer, wrote an essay, and he said, it's one thing to oppose Trump, it's another thing to play politics through psychiatry. Which I thought was interesting. And he said, and I thought that this kind of goes to the same argument, the truth is, Trump as president is pretty much the same Trump we saw on the campaign trail. He announced his speech candidacy with a speech many thought outrageous. All during the campaign, he tweeted up a storm. Even after he got his party's nomination, he didn't pivot as some expected and stayed the unconventional course. So here's a Republican, a Fox News employee, arguing, you got the president you saw.
Yeah. Yeah, well, no doubt in my mind that that's exactly what we got, right?
Yep.
We got exactly who we paid for.
Yeah, we did. And is he mentally ill? Well, he's distasteful.
Absolutely.
And he's a narcissist. But does he reach the 25th Amendment level of mentally ill? Probably not at this point.
Oh,
I would like to say yes, but probably not at this point.
I can't imagine how he would, right? You know.
You know, he would have to literally wake up and start rolling naked on the lawn of the White House saying, vroom, vroom, I'm a lawnmower.
Even then, I'm not sure you'd get...
right?
I mean, yeah, I don't know. I just don't know. But that's okay. This isn't the path forward.
Yeah, no, and I think...
This is a nuclear option as well, right? And because it's a nuclear option, it's one that I would prefer to see not used.
Well, and the thing is, I mean, you're exactly right. It is the nuclear option. So let's say somehow this does get invoked. He does get declared mentally incompetent at the place that he's at right now. Who's to say that someone with different beliefs than ours isn't going to pull exactly the same card with a more liberal leftist president?
Right.
And again, saying incompetence because they don't like the way we think.
Right.
Interestingly, speaking of they don't like the way we think, so I've been trolling Dan Sullivan a little bit, who is Alaska's junior senator, and he posted this thing yesterday about his support for a bill that's going forward that basically gives people an opportunity to access alternative care or experimental care at the end of life and have it covered by their insurance plans. And so I wrote, that's an ironic post from someone who voted to take at minimum 16 million people's healthcare away. And I got trolled by a whole bunch of people, one of whom said, if you're going to be a socialist, you should live somewhere else. So it just goes back to that whole, you know,
well, fuck you. Yeah.
We don't like the way you think.
Yeah.
And I thought, wow, you know, our nation has really become a place where we feel like we can say that out loud. Well, if you don't think that way, if you don't think right, you can live somewhere else.
You know what, though? We've been saying it to each other forever. And Alaska. You
know. Right, Alaska.
You know, you guys are kind of really angry still about something. There was this American Life about you guys.
No way, really?
Yeah, and I didn't get a chance to listen to all of it, and it was a small community, and I don't remember the name, right? You know, I mean...
Oh, was it the one about the Medicare for All debate?
No, it was about immigration.
Oh.
And, like, the town is just completely divided about immigration, right? It's a town where who the fuck immigrates, right?
Right, it's probably like, a town that's a bunch of white people who are trying to make money and a bunch of Native people who were born there, grew up there, and are still there.
Right. Right, and I mean, it's one of those bush towns of, you know, 100 people or whatever.
Right.
I mean, like, yeah, but it was just a fascinating story. So, yeah, go back and check the archives on This American Life.
How old is it?
It's in the last month or so.
Okay, so it'd be pretty easy to find.
Yeah, it was just crazy because, yeah, I mean, like, huge debate over, you know, Islamic immigration in particular, right?
Great. I'm so proud. You make the news because you have senators like Kamala Harris. We make the news because 100 yokels somewhere like Dillingham decide that they have to talk about the Islams.
Well, but I mean, you know, but I mean, to be clear, there's at least half the people on this, you know, this debate who are like, no, this is America. We're gonna let people in, you know, and the whole bit, right? You know, I mean, like, yeah. So they're good people everywhere. That's what I'm saying, right? Yeah.
Okay, that makes me feel better because I am definitely a glasses half empty kind of girl, especially when it comes to Alaskan politics.
Well, and the thing is, right? It wouldn't be any interesting. There would be nothing interesting about a story about Alaska in which an entire city is against Muslim immigration.
Right.
There'd be like, okay.
People would be like, next.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure that's called Willow, you know?
No, actually, Willow kind of has its weird little liberal contingent,
Yeah.
but
No, exactly, right? You know, just, you know, Eagle River. I don't know what, you
yeah.
know, so, you know.
Wasilla.
Wasilla, there we go. You know, but it's the whole thing, right? It's just there are plenty of liberals in Alaska. There really are. I met a lot of them. I lived there and
You
stuff.
actually know the bulk of
Well,
them.
okay,
Like all
you
six of us.
know, but
Oh, that's
it's the
funny.
secret handshake gives us away.
Yeah,
Yeah, so yeah, definitely check that out. So coming up next week, right? Or next time we record, maybe even next. No, it can't be next week. It's my dad's birthday and he's in town.
it'll be the following week.
Yeah, the following week we're gonna talk about
Impeachment, I
impeachment.
guess, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, that's cool.
Yeah, because, you know, and again, I'm not holding my breath, but let's talk about how the system really works and, you know, kind of start seeing if there's a way to move in that direction.
Well, and I think that's what's interesting actually about approaching some of the stuff through one-offs, like looking at the 25th Amendment and looking at the Magnitsky Act, is that it, again, as I said last week, it's really forcing me to learn things that I don't know. I didn't really know how the 25th Amendment worked and what the history was, and it was fun to be able to read that.
Yeah,
I feel
and
like I'm doing something for myself when I'm reading stuff like that and learning stuff like that.
I would just like to say to Congress, hey, go back and take a look at this. Not that you don't understand anything, but it's 200 words. You guys think maybe we could do something with like more laws that were like 200 words?
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So I don't really have a fuck that guy other than, again, you know, Mooch, Scaramooch, you know.
Oh, I was gonna
But,
say, that's my fuck that guy. Can I rant about the mooch for a little bit?
of course, of course. I mean,
So, go ahead.
it's almost passé at this point, but please do.
Well, you know, I mean,
Exactly.
it is and it isn't, right? So the thing that really bothered me about the mooch, and here's the other thing that we need to be afraid of, is that they're talking about replacing him with Stephen Miller, who is he's Santa Cruz's pet neo-Nazi, right? He's from Santa Cruz.
I don't know anything about this guy,
Yeah, I
so.
think he is. He's like this little loser dude from Santa Cruz. Anyway, they're thinking about replacing the mooch with him, which is really pretty terrifying because this guy is a dyed-in-the-wool white supremacist. Anyway, back to the mooch. So the thing that really made me angry about him, I've really thought about it. We can be pretty coarse, as evidenced by last week
Oh,
and this
yeah.
week and all of the weeks that we've recorded. But you know, the difference is it's not part of our jobs and we don't do it in our jobs.
We are not representing the administration to the press and the public. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, while it is kind of funny to think about Steve Bannon sucking his own cock, saying that when you are the communications director of the White House about someone who's working in the White House and saying it to someone on the record because you don't understand the rules about talking off the record. No.
Right.
It really bothered me, and he's my fuck that guy because he really represents America at its most base nature, and I don't like it. And he represents someone who sacrificed his home and his relationships for greed, power, and fame, and he's just disgusting.
Right. Well,
And I
he's
think
that.
he got his just desserts. I mean, it's like Steve or Stephen Colbert said, you know, I mean, the front stabber gets stabbed in the back.
Yeah.
You know? Ugh. So yeah, he's my fuck that guy. I do have a Hall of Honorable mention on a happy note.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is completely unrelated to anything important, but I thought it just made me feel really good. So about a week ago, there was a picture published of Macaulay Culkin. Did you see this by any chance?
What, him and Paris Jackson?
No. So Macaulay Culkin, over the years has looked really awful. I mean, it's been pretty obvious that he's been battling a big drug problem. Well, there was a picture published of him coming out of a store, and he looks so good. He looks healthy, his weight is healthy, he looks rested and tan, he looks younger than he's looked in years. And it was really neat. It was neat to see someone who's obviously working hard on recovery and working hard on taking care of himself. I actually started following him on Twitter, and I've really been enjoying it. It's been like a bright light in an otherwise dark world.
Excellent.
Yeah. And I want to remind people not to be so goddamn judgy, because even with this beautiful picture of him looking very healthy and looking like he really is taking care of himself, there were people who were like, "He's not in recovery, he's carrying 3 packs of cigarettes." It's like, you know what? Dude's not shooting heroin, okay? Come on, cut him some slack.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah. Mad people.
So check out Macaulay Culkin on Twitter. It's just actually been really, it really is cheering. It makes my heart feel good, and there are not many things on this planet that do that right now. So.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
Well, I found a Neil Gaiman quote that I thought was really appropriate when talking about Trump and his cabinet and people like Steve Miller and the Mooch.
Okay.
Grown-ups don't look like grown-ups on the inside either. Outside, they're big and thoughtless, and they always know what they're doing. Inside, they look just like they always have, like they did when they were your age. Truth is, there aren't any grown-ups, not one in the whole wide world.
Yeah. Yeah. Sad, but sad.
Sad but sad but true. I mean, even us, right? I mean, I always joke internally that I'm stuck at 14. I'm not a grown up.
Oh my
I just
God,
pretend
no.
to be one on the outside when I have to.
I play one on a daily basis.
Right.
But that's what we all do, right? I mean, that's just the way it is. That's life.
Including the dude in the ill-fitting blue suit with a horribly long red tie.
Yes.
Right.
Well, although arguably he's not even trying to play
Right.
an adult.
He doesn't have to.
Yeah, well, maybe that's the problem. Maybe that is the problem. All right. Well, on that note, I think we're gonna wrap this one a little short today.
We're out for this week, and in 2 weeks, we'll be back to talk impeachment.
All right.
All right. Have a good one.